And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live in my narrator voice. Oh, God damn, I kill me. I do. Anyway, you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio 2 days a week for your listening garbled pleasure. For those of you who can't understand the accent, it's from New Zealand, which is not, you guessed it, Australia. Two completely separate countries. Kind of like how, if you ever noticed, a Canadian gets really pissed off if you call them American. Same deal, you know. I was told once that New Zealanders are just retarded Australians, and I just replied that Americans are just retarded Canadians, and he said, "But I'm Puerto Rican," and I said, "Well, Puerto Ricans are just retarded Venezuelans." Everybody has their little rivalries, but we live on a finite planet, don't we? You know, we live on a finite planet with the perspective for infinite growth. Think about that for a second. Not going to work for too long, is it? In fact, our infinite growth has a finite lifespan, and that lifespan is called the Earth's carrying capacity. Soon as we reach it, soon as we overblow it, everything, the bugs, the bacteria, and the people that wear suits as well will die. You know, some of them will have their nice underground bunkers, and I'm sure that'll be really great, being locked away underground in the dark for 100 years with the worst pedophiles, rapists, Satanists, and billionaire playboy filth that has ever existed. That's going to be real fun. You know, good on you, bro. You've got an out, you know. You've got a game plan on this puppy, don't you? That's pretty stupid. Think about the Earth. Think about your place in it. Think about your circle, right? I'm talking about an organic circle. Something where you put in and you get out, like farming. It's got a finite capacity, bro. Let's think about getting interstellar. Let's think about getting into space. Let's think about exploring other galaxies, if we are ever going to have any kind of infinite potential for the human race. My very special guest along those lines is Carol Rosen. Sorry. And she is the first woman to be the corporate manager of an aerospace company. Right? We're talking about breaching the glass ceiling, in some cases, literally. You know, like... In 1974, she worked alongside the great visionary Dr. Wernher von Braun, who always wanted to, send man to the moon, and he helped with that somewhat. She became known as the original political architect of the move to stop ASATs, that's anti-satellite weapons, and the SDI. No, that's not something that you would get from a little bit of hanky-panky. It's actually Strategic Defense Initiative, SDI, or Star Wars, you know, otherwise known as space-based weapons. Now, and we're also, tonight, going to be talking about peace in space, and asking the question why ufology is so popular on the web, right? We're going to be offering a little bit of different perspectives on this tonight than people might be used to. And the trick is to figure out if you've been believing in things that don't matter or things that aren't true. When somebody says something that's counter to your point of view and they present evidence that backs their point of view but not yours, do you get angry? Do you have an emotional reaction? Or do you have an intellectual reaction? Okay, that's how you know. If you're getting emotional about the things that you believe, maybe they're not true. Carol Rosen, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Vinny. It's great to be back with you.
I get that a lot. Now, we have... I'm not going to deny. I'm the best interviewer in the world. I have been told this by people who have been interviewed thousands of times, who've appeared in hundreds of documentaries and stuff. This is just my gig. I love it.
My favorite part of you is what's on your Skype note here. It says, this is your quote, just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? I mean, how can you not be laughing on your show?
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's the lighter side of genocide. In the world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you go frickin' nuts.
For sure.
And that brings me on to a very important point. People, when they get into arguments about things that they believe really deeply, they go frickin' nuts because they've lost their sense of humor about it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And that's pretty true in this ufology movement, too. You know, there's so much disinformation, and it's really rampant. And so the truth, the facts get discredited. The people who are telling the truth often get discredited or ridiculed. You know, there's a lot of deception. And so it starts to get very serious because people don't know how to discern. It's understandable for who's telling the truth about this issue and what it is. But there is a truth, and it's really exciting, and talk about fun. It is going to be so much fun when all of it starts to happen, the it being when they can come in by invitation and land, when we can start to live in peace and have sustainable lives on this planet. I've been working on a treaty that I'll talk about all of this, whatever you want to talk about on your show. But what I think is the best part about it is just where you come from, that we should be living, having a good time. We should be able to be healthy, love each other, dance, play music. I mean, what isn't happening is all of that, because what's prevailing is the suffering and destruction so unnecessarily. And this UFO ET truth, to me, is the real rising above what's happening on the earth way to get to peace and love and music and art and sustainable, happy, healthy lives for everybody. So I'm glad you're bringing this topic up. I'm curious to see what parts of it you want to talk about today. And I'm kind of excited to get into it because it's a real dig into your consciousness. And when you get into your consciousness, to me, that's where you really start to feel good. And I'm not sure that people feel really good on this planet right now. Most people, I'd say.
Yeah, they're always angry at other people for stuff that isn't their fault. You know, it's just like, hey, bro, are you going to come and help me out this weekend to move house and everything? Oh, no, sorry, bro, I'm busy hating on people on Facebook. Oh, yeah? That developing your soul, is it? Yeah, right. Is it making you ascend in a intellectual fashion, is it? Oh, absolutely. Okay. Keep it up then, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to me, too, because the people that do want to get involved in this issue, who know pieces of the truth or have a strong desire to get to it, are very open if you talk with them on a one-to-one. They will come in to help. So there's also a kind of fun over the serious issues. There's a sense of fun over that too. I mean, when I call people that are working within the military industrial complex war industry, and I say things to them like, are there weapons based in space? I really need to know, because that, by the way, gets in the middle of the UFO issue. And they know there aren't any. So you can imagine that disinformation campaign. And do you think that ETs are hostile if you even believe that they're there? And usually I'll get a funny joke back like, well, we're still here, you know. So there is, I mean, the whole issue of space, the cosmos, the ET issue is the most fun subject area, or it will be once we start to focus on it in that higher state of consciousness, I'll call it.
Now, this is an important juncture that we need to come to. The difference between watching a UFO video with a completely open mind going, oh, wow, isn't that amazing, and just completely absorbing it without critical thought, you know, versus the other side of it, where you actually are asking the questions and you have some kind of ability to break down what it is you are seeing. I've seen this in people who are watching my videos, right? I'm trying to convey a message in my video or something. Somebody will completely miss the point or ignore 99% of the video jump on this one aspect that they dislike about it. And it's what's the old saying? What we got here is a failure to communicate. People aren't media literate. They're not scientifically literate. They're not aeronautically literate. You know what I'm saying? And you have people who aren't literate in these fields believing what somebody has told them and then passing it on. In New Zealand, we have a game called Chinese Whispers, where you will whisper something in one person's ear, and they will whisper what they think they heard into the next person's ear, and it goes around the circle and comes back to you. And it's usually something completely different from what you originally said going round. That's what's going on. It's like a global alien disinformation circle of Chinese whispers.
I wonder why they call it Chinese whispers. That's kind of interesting right there. We have that game, of course, here in the States, too. We played it in kindergarten, and then you do it as you get a little bit older, and you start to learn how people have developed these different perceptions, misinterpretations, their different belief systems that they've been so carefully taught. And that gets to the root of the disinformation system that we're both basically living under. And it really is disturbing to me. I've gone to a few UFO conferences, so to speak, and I actually have only heard one person, maybe there are more, but I've only heard one, Dr. Stephen Greer, who founded the Disclosure Project. I've only heard him say none of the ETs are evil, that there's a man-made program to make you think that they are. I mean, this is a whole subject area, but it's so disturbing to me that that energy, that negative energy gets spread around. And it's almost like a religion. In fact, there is a UFO religion. Scientology, I hear, is the largest UFO religion in the world, followed by, is it Raelism? Is that how you say it? It's something that gets embedded in our brains, and then this negative perspective. And I've been told by conference coordinators at these events, I've asked them to, could they name it something other than secret space program, for example, call it a peace in space program. And then we can get into the reality of what's in space, what can be in space, what our connection is to the extraterrestrial cultures or could be. And I'll constantly get the message back, well, that isn't what sells tickets. And so you look like you're implying, you look at the books that are passed around, big, thick research books, really well done with respect for all the researchers. I say that, but in it are a lot of quotes. They get passed from one book to the other until finally it becomes almost a subculture of a belief system about alien abductions or hybrids or things that may or may not be true, but there are also many people who know in the aerospace defense industry that much of the bad news, abductions, for example, implants, it's been developed by men, not ETs. And ETs, I think it's pretty clear to most people who are still able to think that they're not hostile. I mean, we are still here. So,
you just said most people who are still able to think. I'm not sure that actually encompasses too many people, Carol.
Well, there you are. You know, as an educator, I feel really badly. I guess it was my ego that thought that I could educate people when I left the military industrial complex.
And possibly I naivete?
Well, I think it has more to do with self-interest, with corporate interests. You know, there's an enormous effort in the corporation, in the complex, and in fact, in some of the people that give speeches on the UFO issue for investments, money, and for, you know, self-promotion, for selling their books and documentaries. There is an awful lot of money interest in this program, it's not just on the military-industrial complex weapons side, which is huge. And I think the main reason why we don't get the truth, because the game has always been about seizing the high ground, the Vision 2020, the Defense Guidance Plan, and that's another whole few hours of talk too. The fact of the matter is, I think finally, most of it is based on money. And it so you look at why people are giving these facts, fictions, as though they're facts. And then you look at people who are very innocently, I think, believing the different perspectives and interpretations and their belief systems, religious, whatever, belief systems that they're evil aliens coming and that, you know, we really need to prepare to fight them. There's absolutely no evidence of it. As the late, my very close friend, Dr. Edgar Mitchell used to say, where do these people get this crap from? And that's how, when I called him to ask him about questions like this, he would answer, where do they get this from? Because there's no evidence of it. It's just people's interpretations, perspectives, belief systems, and it turns into myths and legends and big, thick books and documentaries that say, maybe it's this way, maybe it's that way, when actually there's a truth. And some of us who know it have a very difficult time telling it because of the ridicule factor, because we're outnumbered and outfunded. But thanks to a show like yours and American Freedom Radio, we have an opportunity. Alternative news gives us an opportunity to discuss and present what the truth is about ET civilizations and about UFOs, you know, about the history of all of this. But really, to me, maybe because I come out of the aerospace defense industry, it becomes very clear to me that most of it is about money and control. So they state it very clearly in the defense plans, full spectrum dominance and control. But I can tell you right now, there are people in that aerospace defense complex who do not want weapons to be placed in space. They do want the truth about ufology to come out. They do want sustainable lifestyles for their grandchildren and the children of the world. I know these people. And they will, if we approach them, tell you the truth if they trust you and that you're not going to discredit them or make them look like fools or make them lose their jobs, worst of all. So I think we have a chance right now to start bringing out the truth. I mean, what is ufology? What's ufology to you, Vinny?
Ufology, probably just people who are really interested in UFOs and alien culture and watching documentaries and reading about stuff and thinking that it's a study, essentially, of alien spacecraft for those people who are strictly ufologists. However, I think there's, with all things, there's always a spectrum and branches that come out of it, so you can never really define who all these people are. But there's a number of different edges. Like, for example, there's one edge of the ufology spectrum, which are those people who are highly credible, who are scientific, who are expert witnesses, military, etc., who are, you know, members of the Disclosure Project. I would probably say, I can just say outright, those guys aren't bullshitting anybody. But the other end of the spectrum are the people who are, shall we say, less inclined to facts, but more feeling, more of a no offense, a feminine way of looking about things, where facts can change and there's no such thing as rigidity and there's no such thing as surety. So people adopt belief instead of knowledge as the thing that they think rules their mind. And they find themselves not only believing the most insane, easily disprovable things, but they believe it so blindly that they're willing to aggressively go after people who deny it.
Yes, thank you. That's really a good description. And it is a ufology. It is a big study. And there are a lot of reports out there. There are a lot of visual records. There's even some physical evidence that some people have come up with. A lot of it's been hidden, of course. And I don't even think we should be calling it UFOs anyway, because they're not unidentified flying objects anymore. Maybe we should change it to IFOs, identified flying objects. The problem is, again, it's very hard to, when you see these reports and the visual records, it's very difficult to tell whether they're true or not. I mean, now things are digitized, so you can make almost anything provable, whether it's a lie or fiction or not. I mean, the autopsy, alien autopsy, that wasn't real and so many people believed it was. I mean, it was a comedy to me, except people really believed it. It was done extremely well. But this is a field that is so confusing. It's so complex. And I think now, because we don't have much of a choice, either we start to look at the facts and disregard the fiction or identify it very clearly as fiction when you're talking about facts. And then I think we need to move it on so it gets out of the field of the pseudosciences, which are not, you know, turn into facts, but they're not. And in fact, because of the spins, it's very difficult to find people in modern academia who are going to respect the real truth. Very difficult, as you probably know, to find people to speak about this who are in the field.
Yeah, it's crazy the way that they can deny some of the really, really glaring evidence, you know, and I've seen it happen so often that I had to come up with a nickname for them. You know, these academics who are just crazy. Dig it. Academia.
It's true.
They're academia nuts.
I'm the World Peace and Space Ambassador for the International Association of Educators for World Peace. And they are the most wonderful people. In fact, one of Von Braun's colleagues before he died was on the board when I first met them. When I left the aerospace industry, I was looking for a hat. I had no title, nothing. I left it all behind. And I went to the UN and went through thousands of organizations, and I found this one, and I'm an educator by background. So I called the founder of it, Dr. Charles Merchea, who's still around. He's still alive in Huntsville. And I flew down to their board meeting at their invitation and got a title from them so that I could go to the second special session on the peaceful uses of outer space, which is how I got to know what was going on at the UN and where I hope we're going to be able to get a treaty signed to ban space-based weapons. I'm working on that right now. But as I went in there, they had already done a lot of research, wonderful papers, and they talked about how the modern ufology, the mythology of it, is traceable back to the early 19th century. I mean, there were stories about mystery airships and all kinds of articles and fighters and things, but there wasn't any evidence of it. I have a lot of trouble with history anyway, because it's been written by man. And if you read it in one book, it's this way, and another book, it's that way. And then you see it on Ancient Aliens, it's a big, maybe it's this way and maybe it's that way. So you see a lot of it, of the spin on this issue. And as far as I can see, it goes back into the 40s. So it's very difficult to base the facts on the past. You know, the saying, if you don't know history, you're liable to repeat it. I just don't go along with that, because I see a lot of people who know really thick amounts of and quality versions of history in terms of it being written in research, quoted with footnotes. But when you look at the reality of the present, I don't think that history is actually true. And I just kept seeing that over and over until I got to the point where I started looking into the military-industrial complex. Because I came out of it, I had kind of a ticket to get inside rather than stand outside with a protest sign. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I was trying to figure out how to actually change this game so that we could see what Wernher von Braun did, which he was my first mentor in this issue area. My gosh, I mean, one of the greatest space visionaries of the world. Talk about someone who got ridiculed and misinterpreted a lot, because he came over from working under Hitler, but of course he escaped and came here. But this whole spin that was taking place was not happening for an unknown reason. It was happening because this is how you brainwash people's minds. This is an intentional effort to dumb people down, to make them be afraid, fear, 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 fear. What could be more controlling than a great fear factor. And that's what this whole issue is based on, really, fear.
You're right. And I remember one time one of my good friends, he was like, actually, he looked really tense, like really anxious. And I go, what's wrong, bro? And he goes, oh, bro, I just learned about the reptilians. And I was just like, dude, do what I did, okay, when I learned about the reptilians, okay? Think about it for a second. Have you ever seen one?
No. Thank you.
No. Okay. Do you think you're actually likely to ever see one in your entire lifetime? No. Okay. So, you're full of fear and anxiety for something you've never seen and are never going to see.
Yeah.
Okay? You're under mind control and you're being dumbed down, brother. Okay? Because the fear disrupts your frontal cortex, okay, your higher thinking properties get shut down to a certain degree depending upon how scared you are, as your brain energy starts to flick back into your reptilian brain, interestingly enough, which controls your fear and your fight or flight, okay? That's why that is.
That's such a brilliant scenario that you just drew up. It's part of what I think we have to educate people about, including on the radio shows here. Because that's what, to me, is a driving force. I mean, I worked on programs where I sat in meetings where this was all being developed. In fact, I resigned from my corporate cushy job where they were putting a chart up on the wall about the potential enemies against whom we were going to build a space-based weapons program, except that nobody knew who the enemies were, except the people putting their names up there. And some of it was just kind of made up. It was, there's a formula. It's a really interesting formula that goes along with this fear factor. And this is how they get people to support wars and believe these lies. And it is. You have a so-called enemy. Suppose you can make up an enemy. And I feel guilty about the Yemen crisis that's going on right now, because if I could only have had people believe me back in 1977, maybe there wouldn't be a war going on with thousands of people dying in this little tiny country, Yemen. So, okay, there are people in Yemen. They might have these weapons and they might be the enemy. Well, if they might, then we have to prepare for it. So we better get these weapons and get ready to fight them. But we think they might have that idea, too, that we're going to come in to fight them. So they're going to get more advanced weapons, which means we need to get more advanced weapons than they are going to get. And then we better test them really fast before they test them on us or before they come here and attack us, the preemptive strike. And so now we have a whole enemy scenario built that never existed to begin with. It's the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq thing that never existed. And the Cuban crisis that didn't exist, the missile crisis. And I mean, you could go on and on with this. I have found a list of 70 countries that we've invaded. And I'm not sure that in any of these countries there was actually an enemy, or that if we didn't sit down with that person or just ignore that person, the head of this country or that group, instead of stimulating them and making them angry by killing off their families and knocking off their whole environments and their communities and killing the people and blowing up their families, right? Children seeing their parents blown up. I could go on and on with the war thing. But what we did with that was, all along, we have made, oh, this really gets me, I'm sorry, but talk about emotional. All along, we have made up that scenario. Well, they might be our enemy, so we have to expect that they're our enemy. Now we have to prepare for that enemy and build the weapons against them, but they may think that we have weapons too and that we're going to come in. So they're going to get more advanced weapons. Well, we better go in and test our weapons, drop the old weapons, test the new ones, and prepare for the next set of weapons. Got that?
Dump
the old weapons. This is a formula. Dump the old weapons. You have to. You have to get rid of them. Then you have to test the new ones. So they get used. It's research and development can also be testing and dumping. And then you rationalize the budgets for the next set of weapons. And so the games keep going based on that big lie that never existed. There was never an enemy. And they're going to do that with the ET threat. So the last card, I think probably your listeners have listened to the Disclosure Project. testimonies. And these were, Stephen Greer collected around 400, maybe there are more, witnesses. And about 20 of us showed up. I didn't talk about my contact experience, which is the most mind-blowing experience of anything that's ever happened to me. And I've had some really mind-blowing experiences along this breaking of the glass ceiling, so to speak, direction, and then the follow through to it. But the biggest problem I have is in this fake scenario building that, as you started out this conversation talking about, that makes people believe lies. And then when it ends up here at the what's coming, the alien threat, and you have all these people talking and selling their books and going on interviews, tours, speaking about whatever it is that's causing fear of aliens. I mean, the big one now, national security. Haven't you heard that one?
Oh, man, it's just like all sorts of like crazy weapons that these terrorists are allegedly going to be threatening us. You know, there could be some bioweapon attack, like they produce some kind of genetically modified aquatic anemone or something like that. And they say, hey, there's an enemy in Yemen, and it's a Yemeni anemone. And I'm sure there isn't even an enemy out there either. Anyway, bro.
There isn't. No. It's amazing, isn't it? And people believe it. And it should be stuck to comic books. I don't know why somebody just doesn't turn this whole scenario into a giant. They could make a fortune.
Well, no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You know why? Because the truth isn't what sells tickets. You and I both know this because neither of us are rich and we're selling the truth, isn't it? Okay?
Yes.
Anybody who's in this industry selling the truth, trying to make money, you have made the shittest career choice in the human fucking history. Okay? This show, for example. It's really widely known, but it's not actually very popular. You know why? Because I don't lie. I don't hype things up. I don't shock jock. I don't endlessly sell products. And I'm out. Basically, it's because I'm outnumbered and underfunded.
Yeah. And, you know, that's why I'm doing your show. And I haven't done the big ones that reach 15 million people yet. I might, because I'm working on something that, if it does work, could be a game changer regarding this treaty. And I'm doing it behind the scenes because so many times I've been blocked. Von Braun and I used to talk about this. You know, that's why I got hired in the aerospace industry, by the way, originally. Von Braun said to me, nobody would close the door on you because you're a woman. And he couldn't get the truth out. And of course, he was scared, threatened not to talk about certain things. I'm sure he was, because I was. And I'm a nobody compared to Wernher von Braun. So, you know, if you speak the truth, oh, terrible things can happen to you today. So you have to be very courageous. I like doing this radio. This is all new to me because nobody is going to attack my look, so they're not going to pay. My husband used to say, if people are looking at your hair, they're not going to listen to what you're saying, because that's another distraction. And if they don't want to hear the truth, they're going to turn the channel. But maybe they'll hear you if you can tap into the consciousness that's necessary to hear in the silence of radio. I think this has an enormous possibility, these shows. And yeah, you're right. It's very difficult to be heard, to be respected, to get funding for it. I hope people will support American Freedom Radio. That's a little plug, because this is where we get our alternative truth, where we get the truth out and not the alternative lies. I take that back.
That was the Freudian truth.
Yeah, really. But, you know, people have warned along the way. Von Braun gave his warning that I gave at the Disclosure Project, that when the alien threat comes, just know that it's not true, because there are no evil aliens. You know, they would come in by invitation. Many of us who have been in contact know, which is another whole story. Who's going to talk about that?
If anybody's been like screwed over by a psychopath, you do realize that there's not so much evil from space that you have to fear. It's the evil among us.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, the fact is, I think what's happening with this cosmic issue, with the space issue that we can call ufology or, you know, extraterrestrial consciousness intelligence, I think what's actually happening is the consciousness is awakening, and it's rising in a different way than was even possible when we were staying in a state of earthbound thinking. you know, we have all been educated with earthbound thinking. We have maybe in sixth grade had to memorize the planets. Now the new young children, of course, I'm going to be 72, so I'm coming from a 60s generation where we thought peace and love was going to prevail anyway. But when I was a kid, that's what we were learning. I was, as a teacher, hanging paper mache planets on the ceiling, and the fire marshal would come in and make me take them down. I mean, but that was about as far as we could go. Now we've got telescopes that allow us to see so much further into space. We've found out about gravity waves and sunspots that may even turn off our communications one day. So we need to get this information out as quickly as we can. But we found out more information now that's raising, I believe that it's raising consciousness, because, and I believe it because even the new handful of people that's made contact with me, especially right after Edgar Mitchell died, which was only a few days ago. This today is February 16th. He died on the evening of February 4th. And I have heard from my webmaster, just told me 9,000 people. There are people in my neighborhood who help produce ASHA Deliverance, a video called Edgar Mitchell's Wishes that's on YouTube. In other words, people are coming forward that I'm meeting that I never knew before, who are connecting to the cosmic issue, the space part of the issue, who we really are in these bodies, in these, this mudball planet we live on that we're destroying so quickly. Who are we really? And we can't find it out by just looking at the earthbound, and we can't continue to believe the lies that we've been told, the belief systems that come from so many different perspectives and interpretations and directions, that no wonder we're all so confused and dumbed down. And, you know, it's a very complex system on this planet, but the truth is so simple and it's really cosmic. I think because we're learning to not be so earthbound in our thinking, that consciousness, our thought process is going to be contagious as new innovations are being presented that are solving some of the problems on the planet. There's space age. There's a glitch in this, however. If they get away with putting these weapons in space, the old boys, the old timers, then we're pretty much in, screwed. We're in trouble, because then we're going to be controlled. How we think, how we act as individuals, as a group. That's the technology.
I want to elaborate on that, because theoretically, the technology exists to create a hologram projected from space, right? There's the technology to create a sound beaming directly into your head, okay? There's the technology to blow shit up from anywhere, all right? This is technology we already have pretty much, right?
But it's not space-based yet, but
not,
yes.
Not just yet. So imagine for a moment that you could project any image, any sound, and any destruction that you wanted anywhere, at any time, to anyone. Whose belief structures would you manipulate? I spoke to a gentleman on the show not too long ago, actually, who used to fly helicopters in Desert Storm, and they had speaker systems that didn't actually produce any sound. They could only be heard inside the enemy soldiers' heads, and it was like, they were telling them that they were the voice of Allah and to come out with their hands up and their guns down on the floor. Okay, so people who believe things that they see and they hear without analyzing, without questioning, they will be easily fooled by any such weapon as this. And unfortunately, because such people are the majority after a hundred or so years of a banking cartel ripping up and planting public education and propaganda in everybody's minds for the best part of a century, the people who know what's up might not even stand a chance against everybody else, you know? It's talking about, like, weaponizing the human race, like being able to turn the average human being into a weapon against people who tell the truth.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to share with you a story that just backs up what you're talking about. Wernher von Braun, my very first speech when I was at Fairchild Industries, just learning what he was about, which was totally about educating people about the real importance of keeping the space above all of our heads free of weapons. And he is the first person who told me about psychotronic weapons, introduced me to some experts in that field. But I still didn't really get it. I was very young and naive and just coming out of teaching sixth grade, for heaven's sake. And now I'm sitting in the office of Von Braun, and he's telling me he's going to continue living until I learn about this issue and how this game is being played. So the very first lesson I had, Vinny, was to, this was February that I met him in 74, and it was July that I was sent to speak for him at a National Education Association meeting to 18,000 people, keeping in mind I had only spoken before a Parent Teachers Association meeting in the past. And as I've said, I had to rehearse that the night before about mustard being squirted in the cafeteria. Now I'm going to introduce satellites as a teaching tool. He was too ill to go. And he handed me some pink index cards, 5 books. I jumped on a plane, and my speech was to be the next day. So I flew from Maryland to Chicago, McCormick Hall. And I looked at these books and I wrote a couple of notes down. I made it up. I'm a very creative teacher. So I wrote about how satellites could be used as a teaching tool. There was going to be a live demonstration. It failed when I got up to the podium, which scared me. You can't imagine how much. And it failed. The whole experiment failed from the satellite because someone in the Fiji Islands pressed the wrong button. So I couldn't do a live satellite demonstration on a big screen where we could show people around the world getting information via satellite and how exciting this would be for teachers. Well, I had to make it up. But what happened was, my speech, but what happened was he came into my left ear. And this is going to sound really strange, but it's the truth. With no telephone, there was his voice in my left ear, just as he said, well, I'll call you. And he started talking and said, repeat after me, talk about. And I started talking about CU band, K band, and how satellites worked, how exciting this was going to be, satellites to be able to share information around the world, global education, which was one of his dreams and many of our dreams, how to have global education, share the information that's available to us via satellite. And I was explaining how this worked because he was telling me in my left ear. That was his example of how you can reach people's mind. Now people do remote viewing. They do all kinds of telepathic experiments. I had no idea what any of that was in those days. Now imagine, however, if Von Braun could do that with me, who had no experience, no understanding of this. I was very young, this is 1974, and if he could do that into my ear without a telephone, what could happen if they put this kind of technology above our heads, not very far away? I mean, satellites are not that far away. Space is now drawn at like 80 kilometers, you know, it's not very far. Suppose they covered the planet. Well, in geosynchronous orbit, 22,300 and some miles above the planet, geosynchronous orbit, if you put a technology in 3 spots around the globe in geosynchronous orbit, where when the Earth rotates, the satellite or whatever that technology is in geosynchronous orbit, that the satellite, the space technology stays in the same place while the Earth rotates. If you put 3 technologies in geosynchronous orbit, Vinny, it actually hits the footprint of the entire planet. Now, just suppose somebody puts this technology up there, which we'll call psychotronic weapons, and it can then control how you think as an individual or as a group. It can control how you act as an individual or a group, whether you're sick or whether you're well, if it's aimed at you as an individual or a group. imagine. So where you talk about the Outer Space Treaty of 67 that only banned weapons of mass destruction, that is not what is going on today, which is why we have an updated treaty, by the way. And imagine that, I'll now just jump this subject to the contact that some of us, I hear millions of people around the world have had with extraterrestrial beings, whether they were aware of it or not. If they were aware of it and they came from that earthbound fear, of course, that's their perspective. They were abducted, got an implant. They don't realize that was a human fear controlled and designed program to make them fear for the ability for certain others to control them. Now imagine, though, we do make contact officially. The only, and that way we find out for sure the truth about who we really are, who we really are in the cosmic sense. Who are we? Are we just these human beings? Are we just animals, just only in this one environment that is so rapidly being destroyed with so many people suffering? Or do we have a higher level of consciousness that is an extraterrestrial being? I'll call it intelligence. Let's just call it ETI, extraterrestrial intelligence. Just suppose we have a consciousness that's as high as theirs, who come all of these distances. And of course, if they wanted to come get us and steal our ovaries and sperms and turn us into gold mining slaves and take our resources or control us, whatever. If that was the game, of course, they would have already done that, right? Now, just
some,
say...
Some might argue they kind of already have. And then some might argue that humans have actually already done that, really psychopathic ones who have inordinate quantities of cash and have zero accountability and total secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a stab in the dark here?
Yeah. Oh, no. What you're describing is so clearly part of that scenario that's based on that fear thing. And it is making people, certain people, money. And other people, ego, they get promoted and famous and they write their big, thick books and show up on different interpreted documentaries and movies. And some of it's good. I'm not saying it's all bad. But the part that stimulates the fear factor is not true. And how you get through that, I don't know, because people are so embedded. We're taught to enjoy the monster movies and the fear, and that's what the emotion is. I mean, in this country, you know, in some countries it's pornography, in other places it's sexual love, and you have fear even about that. You have fear about the food now that we're eating. Some of it is poison, toxic. Some of it is organic and clean. Most of the water is toxic on the planet and disappearing. Some of it is okay, and we still can find some pure water in some places. Some places have none and no toilets. I mean, it's a choice.
You got to ferret that stuff out, man. It's like the freaking postman out there.
For sure. And there's a choice. And as you start to hear people sharing their deepest stories, like this little one that I just told you, about von Braun transmitting this talk to me and showing me what the mind is capable of doing, he would always say repeatedly to me that technology is just an extension of the mind. So then we start to get into the beliefs again, perspectives, interpretations, the myths, legends, disinformation, and outright lies that are told everyone, but that and the conspiracy theories. But to me, now that I've gone to some of these UFO conferences and we started out talking about ufology, what's the importance of it, why is it so much all over the web, I think people's consciousness and their spirits are desiring now more than ever with a passion to get to the truth. We're still ridiculed, we're still locked up in the, you know, so in the embassies because we're not allowed to tell the truth. We're still hiding out in our houses. My neighbors think my name's Tiana. I mean, it's very difficult sometimes to feel safe telling the truth on this planet. But I think where the difference is that's happening right now that gives me hope enough to keep doing this is that we're not now focused. If we can bring people, if you can in this show and others can, bring people up to a cosmic perspective to it all, rise above it, because we can't change it from the earthbound place. We just can't. People have been trying. They talk, I have for years, about, you know, the new paradigm, and we're on the threshold and we have choices to make. Well, that's nice. And standing out in the street with our protest signs, uncovering cover-ups and all of that, that's really great stuff too. It's not bad. But we are in worse shape than we've ever been in, ever. And if anybody thinks that the shift has already taken place or it is, they're really wrong.
That's because the shift is about to hit the fan.
You got it. And that's why I'm here talking with you. I'm thinking that if we can archive some of this information and just say, okay, this is available. And in my message, everyone's got a different piece of this. You know, there's a whole fabric of life that we can touch on that shows the positive things. If we can get people to focus on the solutions now from a cosmic perspective, look down at the earth from where the astronauts and cosmonauts have been. As they say, the astronauts and cosmonauts, they can't fight in space, even if they're adversarial countries on the planet. That's man-made stuff, too. It's made up. It's for somebody's self-interest and vested interest. But they can't fight. They're having what you promote, having a good time in space. Well, we can have that on this planet. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to be this year. We are going to be able to... This is going to sound really strange, but I know that 2016 is the year. How do I know? Because this is the year they're getting ready to base weapons irreversibly in space above our heads. If they do that, there is no turning back. Guess what? They're not going to turn them off. I don't care how many people say, oh, if they turn them on, we can turn them off. Uh-uh. You get a weapon, it's going to be used by somebody. So we have this little teeny window of opportunity in time. It's very small. When I started doing this over 40 years ago, it was not so small. We had plenty of time, but there was too much disinformation out there, intentionally and unintentionally spread by people who knew to do it and people who didn't even know they were doing it. I mean, I tried to get this information to some of the peace movement, and there were people that were saying, oh, she's a Nazi. You know, she worked with Wernher von Braun, or she's a pathological liar, because Dennis Kucinich once didn't do a speech that he said he was going to do. And I helped him book a speech, a congressman that I loved. And he told this group that I never booked him, which was a total lie. And so there was a group that said, oh, who should we believe, her or the congressman? Oh, my God. And there are people
obviously who, not the congressman. This is America. You know, you don't believe those people. They've got like a 6% approval rating. How could you believe any of them?
Oh, my God. I learned a huge lesson there, because I worked with him on a bill and a treaty, and I really thought, you know, he was supportive. But no, he told me, in fact, to just tell the group that he told me he didn't want to come to the meeting. It was in Berkeley. And he was supposed to be on a plane and he just didn't show up. And this is a congressman. And I've called him and said, please, will you just tell the peace movement the truth? You talk about the truth. Well, in politics, that's not how it's played. There are a lot of self-interest. I learned a huge lesson. What I've done now is I'm going international. I hope that we have world leaders. I think we do, who see more suffering than we see even in this country. And there's plenty of it here in the United States. But they're really, really suffering, and in whole environments and countries, let alone cities, are being destroyed.
I hate to interrupt, but we're just going to quickly go to break. Hold that thought, and we'll be back soon, ladies and gentlemen. Please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood. Like, go ahead. Make my news. And please make a donation, a regular donation, like a couple of bucks a week, or $10 a month, you know, stretch it out, or whatever, because regular stuff keeps coming in through here and we don't charge you for it. I just hope that you give a little something back. We'll be right back.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, the second hour with Carol Rosin, talking about peace in space and also why people shouldn't be quite so worried about all the aliens and stuff like that, because I think let's just calm down for a second, right? Because nobody does a whole lot of clear thinking when they're calm. And if you're going to make decisions about your life, what beliefs you have, what religions you follow, what kind of people you believe every word they freaking say, and you better be freaking sure about it, okay? You got to do a lot of thinking. You got to do a lot of refining, all right? But you got to be able to calm down. Now, how do you learn things that are scary without the fear getting to you, right? And I've come up with a list of six just general guidelines, really, for how you can achieve this. Number one, I'm going to die anyway, so I'd rather die fighting. Number two, I probably can't win, but I have a moral obligation to resist. Number three, I'm terrified of what might happen to me, but I'm even more frightened of doing nothing. Number four, just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? Number five, don't worry, it's just the end of the world. And number six, don't stress. Things are probably a lot worse than you think they are. All right. Now, see, with these very, very simple principles in tow, very little will faze you. I can assure you. You know, somebody was like worried about, oh my God, they got nukes and they got bioweapons and everything. I go, don't worry, it's just the end of the world. He's just starts cracking up laughing and all of a sudden, boom, that fear's gone. All right. Humor, laughter, fun is the antidote to fear. Right. Now, do you know what fructose is, ladies and gentlemen? It's a poison, but it also is what makes fruit sweet. You know why, when you eat fruit, it's not poison for you? Because nature is smart. It packages the poison with the cure. It has fiber that retains all of that stuff so that the fructose gets processed through your body normally, as opposed to turning into cancer, which is what congressmen do. Right, so Carol Rosin, we were actually in the middle of a discussion about a particular congressman who watching from the sidelines over here in New Zealand was going like, wow, that was a great speech, wake up America, and then just kind of like drop off and he becomes just like the rest of them.
Well, that's what happened when I found out too. I think he gives one of the best speeches that there is, and I also learned about the double-edged sword that has to go on with politicians. You know, they have to raise their money, they have to play the game. And he was just one of them. I mean, he just did that. And it really hurt me. And he didn't care. And I have a feeling that a lot of people who go to war care about people. But in a way, then they still have to go in and shoot people. And they end up killing people or maiming them. In some cases, laughing and, you know, doing weird things in the middle of the wars, maybe to get through it. They come back with post-traumatic stress and their limbs cut off, but they still went. So we're a really mixed bag. You know, I don't even blame Dennis Kucinich anymore. I used to. I now just see that we have choices to make and we need to pick and choose right now and be as honest as we can. I was disappointed because I didn't get honesty out of quite a few people that I met along the way. There's so much betrayal out there, disinformation and ridicule and self-interest, that what I'm doing now is sorting as best I can. Actually, I'm letting what I call universal forces do it. I'm kind of sitting back and saying, okay, who's out there that wants to help us keep space free of weapons? Who is sane and balanced enough to know not to cut up the people and chop them up to bits and discredit the good people so that we can all work together? And I'm finding that there are a lot of people out there who have evolved. And especially what's really interesting to me is I find now that when people read this treaty, by the way, it's posted on peaceinspace.com. And I'm updating that website right now, but the treaty is posted by Leah Shanley in Australia, a wonderful webmaster who saved my website when it was being hacked and shut down one time. So Lee had posted the treaty. And if people will read that, it's a story. I know it sounds like legalese, but actually it's the story of the whole cosmic issue and why we need to ban space-based weapons in order to get to the truth and to be able to get to the solutions and free up brains and budgets, so that while those budgets and the brain factory is gigantic in the military, industrial, laboratory, university, intelligence community, NASA, and other international space agencies around the world, there's a complex, a government complex that is inexorably linked. There are a lot of people working in those jobs. Most of the people are wonderful people, whether they're from the right or the left, they really are. And I think it's up to the few of us who are in fact working on many of the different issues, whether it's hunger, the environment, poverty, development, all the environmental issues, of which there are so many, all the human needs issues, and all the new energy issues, because we know we can get to zero point energy and free energy and what that's all about. There are people working on all those. Now, if we do this from a space perspective, things start to change. In other words, if people would just go and read that treaty on peaceandspace.com, because it is a banning of space-based weapons. That's all it does. But what it does is it seems to tap a lot of people's consciousness, which is what I'm most interested in. Edgar Mitchell was too. He founded the Institute of Noetic Sciences to study the brain and the mind when, as an astronaut, he had an out-of-body experience in space and couldn't explain it as a conservative Republican military man when he came back down to Earth. So he founded the Institute of Noetic Sciences to study the new studies of the brain and the mind and consciousness. And am I ever lucky to have worked with him, because I have sitting on my lap right now, actually, a book that we were updating that we wrote 30 some years ago that got blocked. That's another whole story, because we stupidly called it When Foxes Guard the Hen House. So it was going to tell the truth about the Strategic Defense Initiative, the space weapons program, how that was being developed and why it was a really bad, stupid idea. So I have that, and I will update that book that both of us put together over the years. But again, when you look at this from Edgar's, from the cosmonaut's perspective, you start to see that there are space age solutions. Now, of course, the solutions are on this planet. I know some people are against even going into space. I can understand that. But the fact of the matter is, we're there. We have an international space station. People are planning on putting up hotels, schools, laboratories, farms, living conditions, working and living in space and traveling into the universes. Now we can see further, but people will be traveling. Younger generations will, just like some of us traveled around the Earth. It's not so safe now as it was when I used to do it backpacking, but it will be again, because we have a chance to wake up consciousness. Again, I don't think it can be done. We can talk about the new paradigm, the need for a new paradigm, but if we do it in the same old earthbound way, it is not going to happen.
I was just thinking about how this could be done. You know the old saying, you can't con a con man?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So revelation just kind of occurred to me. The only way to stop society itself being conned is to teach everybody how to be a con man, right? But think about this, because we're up against not necessarily conning people per se. We're up against media. We're up against manipulation, weaponized propaganda, disinformation, misinformation, logical fallacies, etc. That's actually, I think, what we need to do and learn at large part, because then you can go out and you can make surgical strikes with the truth, because you've already thought about the possible defenses in terms of manipulation, weaponized propaganda, disinformation, misinformation, you know, logical fallacies, etc. Right?
You know, I love what you're saying. This is so interesting. I love this. I figured something out too, just along those lines, but I didn't put it as eloquently as you just did. I decided that instead of saying these are terrible people that are doing these awful things, I would start making phone calls to some of them. Now, some of them, you can't change their minds, but I'm really good friends with a couple of guys that love to build weapons. So I can now find out what they're doing. And we joke, we use that humor. Remind me to tell you about what Von Braun said about humor. But anyway, I started making phone calls. And I found that there are people in the complex, which some people call the cabal or Illuminati and all that. Forget all that stuff. That's all the conspiracy. It may be true, may not be true, but so what? Let us find the people who we can reach and do that, what you're calling a con. It is in a way, but actually what it is, it's our own joke on it. So, I mean, I started talking with Edgar Mitchell in 1974. Now, here is a Republican conservative military man, as I said, captain, Navy, and all that. I also, on our team, on our treaty team, these are people you would think and other people may not trust them, but they're so wonderful and they're trustworthy and they support the ban on weapons in space and the truth emerging about the UFO ET issue. So we have Abe Krieger. Abe Krieger has 37 years. He was at Boeing Aerospace as an executive, right? Some people would never want to contact this man because he worked in Russia on cooperative technologies. He also worked on the International Space Station, the Lunar Orbiter. Now, you could say, oh, he's a Boeing. We shouldn't trust him, like people did with me. Oh, she must be an agent. She's coming out of the aerospace industry. Uh-uh. This is a kind of con, but it's funny because I called them and said, look, this is in your best interest. Would you help get a ban on space-based weapons? It will benefit the aerospace defense companies. And he said, yes. And Edgar Mitchell became the chairman of my advisory board, along with Arthur Clarke, Isaac Asimov, Buckminster Fuller. I mean, there's nobody that you can't reach. My formula is you're only three or four people away from anyone you want to reach. And the former Minister of Defense of Canada, Paul Hellyer, you've heard him talking about the UFO issue, and he's in his 90s now. And then I called Commander Dr. Scott Jones, U.S. Navy, military intelligence, senior advisor to Claiborne Pell in the Senate, who invited me, by the way, to do my first testimony before the Senate Armed Services Committee, me. And I did it on alternative defense systems, or which to me are cooperative ventures in space instead of weapons in space, which now are going on. And by the way, I went to Russia to get the first list. It was then the Soviet Union, of joint ventures that their scientists gave me that they were willing to do. In other words, there's no stopping us if we have that kind of quirky con idea that you just brought up to contacting people and getting them involved in giving us a whole new perspective to how we get out of this mess. What is it that's in their best interest? What's in the best interest of the Senate? Well, I learned from Dennis Kucinich, it's to get elected. In those days, I didn't know how to find what his best interest, self-interest was, or probably we wouldn't have had this little to-do and maybe he would have told people the truth. But the fact of the matter is he had to raise money and he met people and he was tired. Maybe he didn't want to travel. I didn't know how to talk in those days like I do now. It's a learning experience. And I think as we teach people that con idea, that way of communicating that's our own joke to ourselves, but we bring in the people who know the solutions. I think that's how we're going to pivot the course of history. I mean, we have the Russians and Chinese who introduced a treaty. I mean, this is a major agreement that brings in an agreement from world leaders. And it's, I think we're going to get it signed. I mean, I'm busting every piece of my energy now to do this within the next few weeks maximum, maybe sooner. If we get this treaty signed, it will ban all space-based weapons. And if we get enough people like the ones I just mentioned, for example, and there are many, many more, J.J. Hertek just called, who wrote the Book of Enoch. He and his wife, Desiree, are joining this team. There's a lady, Ellie Calhoun, who teaches innovations at NASA Ames. There are always people that are going to try to bring it down. along the way too. I mean, there's some people just used my space career's title of a book, which in my book, by the way, is a classic on page 200. It has President Andropov's statement that the Russians, then the Soviets, will not test anti-satellite weapons as long as nobody else does. And they were ready to sign a treaty back then. And this book came out in the early 80s. And it's still accurate. It's actually a collector's item with some of the wisdom that's in that book, Space Careers. But you have to write in it by Charles Sheffield and Carol Rosen in order to get it, or the other book shows up right now. But in any case, there are always people that are going to bring it down. Did you see Taylor, what's her name, the singer, last night at the Grammys?
No, I don't subscribe to the television thing. Yeah,
I happened to turn it on, and there was Taylor Swift. She was talking about how people may copy you, they may try to take you down, but you just have to keep going, surround yourself with the people who love you and support what you're doing, and you can do anything. I'm starting to believe, not maybe anything, but a lot of things you can do if you move on, get out of the conspiracy theory, uncovering of cover-ups viewpoint, that what you called earlier the angry viewpoint that really makes each of us sick instead of the people that we're angry at. You know, I don't think those people are getting disturbed.
It's a fear response as well, because people are usually angry at things that they don't fully understand yet.
Sure.
I mean, because once you really understand something, you either accept it or you begin to really hate it, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, now, if you built up, write your next book on the con, because it's really, it's an amazingly clever idea. Because what you're doing with that is you're going to be working with people who have still got that, oh, I keep calling it earthbound with a capital B-O-U-N-D. Perspective, because that's where we are, and we're struggling, a lot of us. We're not healthy, you know. We're seeing, if you're watching, oh my gosh, I watch RT TV, CCTV, Link TV, and Free Speech TV, and you see the real footage, not the gossip shows like CNN and the major networks. No, this is the real footage of what's going on around the world. It's almost paralyzing because you see how people are so suffering. So just say you write the book con, and the people who can get a book and still have water and toilets and can think, as you said, and we start moving people from that lower level of consciousness that actually is so involved in, and these are low levels of consciousness. I'll just go through what's in my head. It's the hate and prejudice. That is what we're taught to believe is true, and it's ridiculous. It's horrible. And if anyone's traveled like I have to different countries, you find out that most people are like we all are. They don't want to be in a negative state, and they're very generous and loving and appreciative and warm. So but in the low levels, we have hate and prejudice. We have revenge and paranoia. Oh my gosh, how the paranoia comes in on this ufology issue that is the theme of your show here tonight. And you have that anger you're talking about, a lot of hostility. This is all low levels of earthbound consciousness. It's all ego states, really. And a lot of sadness and sorrow and depression. And that's really understandable because we see what's going on the planet. I feel a bit guilty because I can't do more. I wish I could. I guess we all do. But in that, we find that a lot of us are suffering with some sort of emotional instability. I mean, look at the poor people coming back, these people that have been in such service to this country or whatever their country is fighting, and they come back with states of stress and burnout and anxiety, and they feel insufficient, and some of them are blown up to bits, so they can't do much, and the post-traumatic stress, I think a lot of us are suffering from, but especially these poor people coming back from these wars, and when they wake up, their consciousness wakes up and it's too late. It's really dreadful for them. And so they made this tremendous effort, and then they found out it was not compatible with what they should have been thinking and doing. So people get into they've been in a state of conflict. They were misunderstanding what was going on. Like you're saying, they don't understand what is actually happening to us. It's hard for people to think. But in that too, you have a lot of people that just are so dissatisfied, they just turn the channel.
Well, they haven't been taught how to think. And I figured out why.
Why?
When you're in class and you ask like a really, really highbrow or like crazy ass question, often you get ostracized. And what that does to young kids is it tells them that curiosity is a bad thing. Okay. And sooner or later, curiosity itself, the very thing that causes them to ask questions, to ponder, to wonder about things, disappears for some people.
Oh, that's so, so true. And, you know, as an educator, and I've studied the child psychology part of it, I saw the mental struggle that children go into, and so do a lot of these soldiers that go to war. Even if they get caught up in the rape and murder and all of those things, they really are very confused. They have to be, or they wouldn't be going, or they have believed some horrible lie. And so their ego got in this, and inevitably they have to prove themselves. You know, some of them, they still have a self-image to project. We're going to be heroes. We're going to be number one. We're going to war. But they know that there is, and they're commiserating with each other, but it's a very serious situation that we're in, because the frustration that they feel is completely denied. And so they have a restlessness about them, but they use that. It's almost a hormonal testosterone kind of thing. Men and women have it. And they just go right into these wars, and they go right into building the foods that are poisoning us and polluting the waters to save or make money, you know. And it's a lot of competition, and it's based on an ego thing where they're motivated by whatever we're taught, which was an earthbound reasoning that just was based on lies. But now you have this one moment where people are becoming more wise. They're waking up to the truth, the whistleblowers, the uncoverers of cover-ups, the people who are coming out with scientific facts versus the fiction that is promoted for the sake of some people's self-interest benefits. And I think, you know, the old mental health that has so taken people over, that the drugs are becoming the primary sales pitches now. I mean, you could watch a whole television ad where they tell you all the horrible things that certain drugs do. These are the drugs by doctor prescription. And they wonder why there is such a mental health problem. People take those drugs, and it says in some of them, you know, if you've committed suicide, you know, or you hear the horrible descriptions.
Oh, I love this. If you've committed suicide, please see your doctor.
Really? Yeah, but that's the old con. We have a new con game to do. In that old con, people actually do it. And by the way, I'm so not against marijuana and healing marijuana or even getting high for fun. I think it's a lot better than alcohol. And I think people should just experiment with it. You know, I'm a Timothy Leary girl. I helped launch his ashes into space and took care of him the last 6 months of his life. And I was the all-night shift. And that's another whole story, but it's about consciousness. And Timothy would talk about raising the level of consciousness. That's what his main thing was about his form of drug use, by the way. Mm. It was about high mood states. Nothing wrong with that. It was about unconditional states of mind, so that your mind was open to explore and learn. And by the way, Timothy Leary was very close friends with Wernher von Braun, and they both knew Edgar Mitchell. So, you know, this group of people that I just fell into along the way were really amazing, because what they were mainly about was this extraterrestrial intelligence consciousness. It's a God consciousness that doesn't have a language to it. It's an ET consciousness that doesn't really have a language to it. But a lot of people more and more are beginning to fall out to these higher states of consciousness. And they're becoming more aware of our dimensionality, especially as we learn more and more about what's going on in the universes, you see. So now we get into a different form of productivity. We can con the aerospace industries by talking about the new kinds of space age innovations of market, a new marketplace of products and services that are really fun, really, really fun, that allow us to expand our intelligence and remember how to think and teach our kids to be creative. And that's, I know that's where we're headed. It's a matter of whether we choose it or not at this point to extend it into a cosmic higher consciousness awareness. And that is what the ET awareness is, or what some people call the UFO. It's why ufology to me is stuck in the old fear, you know, evil alien.
I saw a Facebook meme that kind of like perfectly describes this. Do you ever have a problem where you just don't know how to reply to someone's argument? Not because you don't know the answer, but you just don't know where to begin. Like the foundation of knowledge you'd need to impart to this person before you could even begin to drag them out of their sinkhole of ignorance would cost thousands of dollars if it were coming from a university.
Yes.
All right, now, what I'm talking about is exactly what you're talking about, but also the other plan. Like, if you've got to do both things at the same time, you've got to usher people towards higher consciousness, but also teach them about how it's being kept from them. Like, what about, like, a documentary about how to con people, right? How to trick people, how to brainwash them, how to control them, how to steal from them, how to prevent people from thinking, how to prevent people from questioning, how to use people, how to convince them to take drugs instead of working on their personal problems, how to prevent people achieving higher states of consciousness. After watching that documentary, a whole lot of people would suddenly recognize how badly they're being used, how much control they've got.
From that, you need to write the parallel to this, or somebody needs to, because listen, what you just described has a mirror image. Oh, let me tell you how I know this. When I testified before the Senate Armed Services Committee, okay, which is how I got to know Scott Jones, who is so wonderful, after military intelligence and Claiborne Pell as a senior advisor in the Senate, this man founded the Peace and Emergency Action Coalition for Earth. Peace Inc. is the acronym, and I'm the executive director. That's my 501c3 nonprofit. This man's extraordinary, by the way. He wrote a book with another Dr. Angela Smith, Voices of the Cosmos, but he's written a lot of books because he's held some of the biggest conferences I've ever heard of on alternative thinking. Okay. This, what we do here, what he did was he moved his whole scenario of the weapons military intelligence into a mirror for how you can move through the military intelligence community in an intelligent way and come to the solution, which is peace. And what I did with that at that Senate hearing where I met him was I presented a paper that was actually a strategy paper that someone like in a movie in a raincoat with dark glasses met me on a corner in Washington, D.C., handed me, that was written at the Heritage Foundation, who, of course, denied writing it. But here I am now in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee. By the way, I'm sitting between General Daniel Graham, who is the general who introduced the Strategic Defense Initiative to Reagan, who announced it in March 83, and Edward Teller, the bomb man. Okay, so now I'm testifying, and I pull out this paper, and the paper was the strategic sales pitch for selling space-based weapons. Here's the con. What they didn't know is for years later, I mirrored that strategic paper. And that, I never thought of it this way, but that was my own personal little con. I copied whatever they said and I mirrored it, but to develop a movement to keep weapons out of space. That thing where the quote that follows me around the original political architect, there were a lot of people working on trying to prevent the weaponization of space at that time. They had a different viewpoint because mine came out of the military industrial complex. So they thought I was an agent or something. But in fact, I did it differently with another staff. And it was very hard because it was hurtful that a lot of people wouldn't include the next steps, which were to do the con, bring in the people that otherwise you exclude. And if they won't play the game, what you do is you walk away until you find the people who will. And I promise you those people are out there. And these are the people in the complex, not the ones that we've uncovered the cover-ups on and blamed them like I do to certain people, as you can hear. But these are the people who will work with us, who come from their heart with some kind of spiritual awareness, doesn't matter what it is, what their belief system is. But they have an ability, these new people, that will help us get out of this mess. And from my job, my assignment that I've taken on to get this treaty on the prevention of the placement of weapons in space, in outer space, signed into law quickly before they put those weapons up there, in spite of the rumors, by the way, there are no weapons based in space. So that's my part of it. Some people are doing, as I said, you know, hunger, the environment, poverty, all the solutions to the energy crisis, environmental destruction, the other animal issues. But we can find the people who have a space age solution. To me, that's the con. And these are the people who are going to produce, as I was saying, the new products and services that can be applied directly to solving the problems on the planet. These are the people who can bring us to the first agreement that I think can be made right now. And I hope we can get this to these U.S. candidates. But if you can't, we can get this treaty signed internationally. That's the first step, which I think is the way to go. And these are people who have moved into this higher level of consciousness that includes the basics, an ability to concentrate. They're motivated with not a self-interest, but an interest of love and giving. It's a kind of what I think you have and the hosts on American Freedom Radio have. They have a sense of responsibility to help make the correction.
Oh, yeah, we're absolutely infected and infested with it over here.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a flexibility in that where we're open. That's why you have your radio show. You're bringing on people that have a new perspective, not an old one, I hope, because I'm really tired of the old.
Carol, I bring on people that I don't know, have never researched. All I know is their name, right? That way you can ensure human interaction where people feel comfortable and you actually have a real conversation instead of this dry back and forth professional nonsense. I mean, look, the way I look at it, the world's currently run by professional people. How's that working out for you?
Yeah, you got it. They're trained, they've got a script, and they've got a through line of action that is based on something that we don't want. But they may have their job or be putting their kid through college or think that they have to go to war because that's the only job they have. Or they believe that they're somehow protecting their nation, you know, this national security interest, which, oh, my God, is going to kill us all continue with that one.
If people keep supporting and believing what they're saying, right, one day the only job that's left will be taking things from people who've got nothing left to give.
Yes, and that's already started, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really sad. And then we say that we're building a security system when actually we're destroying any security that any of us have because we're all going to fall into a sinkhole or off the coast or get drowned or dried up, flooded, cooked, frozen. That's what's happening, and that is not security. And so we're going in and we are taking and we're destroying. And then what are we going to do? Go in and clean it up, clean up the desert like we have done and send in the contractors? No, that game has to end. It doesn't have the real kind of security that is based on a much higher level of consciousness. And it isn't based on a self-interest. It's based on a different kind of contentment, satisfaction of our knowing that we have been able to create with a sense of insight and wisdom and with humor. Oh, I was going to tell you this story. This is so important. It's so important. It changed my life, really. When I met Von Braun, all I knew was the name Von Braun and that he must be a Nazi. And I'm brought into his office because of a teaching unit that I wrote where kids were pretending to be working and living in outer space. Now I'm actually making up this teaching unit with my sixth graders But I'm brought into Wernher von Braun. And of course, it turned out I was, because they were looking for a woman to be pushed up the corporate ranks of industry. And I went in my mini skirt and great legs, and I got hired. So that's what that was about.
As you do.
Yeah. And I was sitting with him, and he was talking to me about how he was tapping on his desk saying, "You will come to Fairchild. You will be here within 3 weeks. They're going to tell you I'm dying of cancer. But I'm not. I'm going to live to tell you how the real game is played. You're just playing it in your classroom, but there's a real game." I had set up my classroom with these centers for growing food, for it just looked like all the solutions to the whole world problem in my little classroom of sixth graders. But what he was doing the whole time that he was talking was scribbling on a piece of paper. And at the end of our conversation, which was a little over 2 hours, almost 3 hours later, I think, was he ripped off the corner of the paper. And he had been scribbling in little circles the spelling of the word humor. And he handed me this scrap of paper and he said, "And you need to really," and I was laughing, but it was nervous laughter through this talk of his. I couldn't believe the conversation I was having with this man telling me I was going to come and try to keep weapons out of space. But I was laughing, and he said, "You will keep your sense of humor. You must, because things are going to get so serious that you're going to have a sense of humor to keep going." And I think that's where we are right now. And I think that sense of humor that you have, that drew me to even do this show, thank you, is because you have it. And without it, we can't get this done. And it's very hard to keep a sense of humor when you see so much suffering and so much destruction and so many people really sad and depressed and angry and hateful and prejudiced. And I understand it. I mean, it's not that I don't have that in me too. Boy, there are some people that I have to remember consciously that I'm a peace activist, because I'd like to write a whole story about certain people that have really betrayed me along the way. But I think what's happening on a global level is we're all being betrayed. So to somehow, keep a sense of humor through this so that we can get into our highest, most creative, given, insightful direction, with that patience that I think you were just starting to tap into and understanding. I forget that I can be compassionate sometimes, because some people that have really worked hard to stop us from getting a peace in space treaty signed, for heaven's sake, you know, it's hard to be grateful. But I started getting grateful to these people because they pushed me forward and upward and away from the negative attitude, so that I could be more generous with my own time, which I feel like I don't have much of right now. I mean, I am older, people around me are dying. And also, on occasion, I haven't been well, I've been hospitalized. So it's a very difficult time for a lot of us. But on the other side of that, we have a lot of people around us who love us and support us, and who are really appreciative of the work that all of us are doing. They're loving. And isn't that state of love and appreciation and the generosity and the gratitude people talk about and the understanding, the kind of wisdom that comes out of that humor, isn't that that ET consciousness that we're trying to get to? I think that's what the UFO issue is really about. It's why I can't go to these conferences where they're focused on the secrets and the Nazis and the uncovering of the cover-ups, and the disclosure's already taken place, for heaven's sake. I mean, I'm sitting here with a book, by the way, by Clifford Stone called Eyes Only, The Story of Clifford Stone and UFO Crash Retrievals. And there's a quote I made at the back because I realized this man was telling the truth. I mean, if you only listen to some of these guys' stories, you know that we're not alone. If anybody doesn't know that, there's plenty of really credentialed people out there that they can research to find out if they want to know. But anybody that wants to know about this issue at all knows we are not alone. They may be down in the lower level of consciousness kind of belief system, where they're as we're talking about, so fearful and angry and think hostile aliens are coming, you know, and get into the paranoia that the war game people would like for you to believe.
Yeah, the movie's kind of like drumming it into people, you know.
Yes. And, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and your conversation with Von Braun, like, reminded me of my first conversation with John Eisen, who does Uncensored Magazine down right here. Like, before I even really got into activism and stuff, I saw this magazine in the supermarket, Uncensored, you know, with Was 9/11 an Inside Job? And I was like, I'm going to talk to this guy. And then I went around and talked to him, and we were smoking a joint in the car, and he goes, okay, I'm going to ask you a really serious question. He's like, New York Jews, classic, you know. Are you an agent? And I just burst into laughter, you know? And he goes, that's the best answer you could have possibly given me.
You know, isn't that fun?
Yeah. Yes.
I wish I had had that kind of sense of humor when people were saying those rumors. My husband thought that I should write a book that was my biography, my memoirs, but it would be a woman who is an FBI agent, CIA agent, agent of the military-industrial complex. She eats dogs. She screws four cowboys at one time. She sells real estate and rips off little old ladies. And she's a Nazi.
As you do. I mean,
yeah. And all the rumors. Really. All these very serious rumors that have been spread to try to, you know, stop me from doing the work, I guess. It's people, for whatever their self-interest reason is, you know, that's what they do.
Well,
and I didn't know I do have a warped sense of humor, I'm told by some people. I laugh at all the wrong places, I'm sure of that. But what I realized is that this is, at this time in history, why even I came on your show, like I said, but it's one of the things that may be able to help some of us get through this and keep going. I mean, it's a very difficult time for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, well, so, we need to write a song called Looking for Laughs in All the Wrong Places. And what you're saying before is kind of like, you see all the suffering and the pain going around. You know, I feel that too, because I've also been through it. And somebody told me one time, he's a guy who like helps women heal from sexual assault and things like that. And the only reason he's able to do it is because it happened to him, right? And he was in South America, and he was talking to some elders and things like that. And they have a traditional kind of like an understanding about people like him. It's called the Wounded Healer. Sometimes you have wounds so deep that your mind can't even process how damaged you are. And the only people who can understand what you're going through is somebody who's gone through it themselves. They're the only people who can actually heal you, even though they themselves may not ever be able to heal fully. They carry their wounds with them as a reminder of something that they can impart to other people so that they don't have to suffer as much, kind of thing. It's a piece of responsibility, you know. And John Eisen, his wife, I was really upset one day, and I called her up and I asked for some advice, you know, how do I stop feeling so crap when all these people are like harassing me on Facebook and YouTube all the time? She goes, well, two things. Don't take yourself too seriously, and don't take what people say about you personally. And I was like, whoa.
Great ones. Boy, if I could remember that, it would be so great, because I have, and it's really, it does hurt when we go through this. I think that must be our ego, too. In fact, I didn't mention in this show, there's a book called In Search of Peace for the Children, Our Lives Entwined with Ego by Susan Babcock. If you can't remember that long title and you're interested, Susan Babcock. And on the front, she has for Dr. Carol Sue Rosen with the quote that I've been saying for years that actually came from an ETI experience. And the quote is, there's no guarantee due to the human ego. And I think that's what we're talking about here, is that, you know, the ego really, it takes us away from our spiritual awareness, from our cosmic, I call it, awareness. And when Edgar Mitchell died, that's so recently to our talking now, I was really devastated, because I've talked with him and worked with him since 1974, and he was one of my closest friends in all of this. And his whole thing was about raising consciousness to what you just described, and to being able to somehow find enough people fast enough, in our case, to be able to shift the consciousness. There's so much information out there on good information. I read like Nexus magazine. I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's edited my friend, by Duncan Rhodes.
Well, the guy I just told you about is actually best friends and helped to Duncan out with that magazine quite a bit as well. You know, so it's a real small world we live in, isn't it?
Isn't that amazing? Yes. And I wait for that. I check my mailbox for it because he has so much information and it's alternative, truthful news. He's really digging for what can help all of us in so many different areas. And I think because all of that information is out there, and months, I guess it was a couple of years ago, maybe it was more than that now, he printed one of the original treaties that we were working on when we had a companion bill too. But he did a whole story on the treaty. I should get him to update it if he would. But he and many others are coming up, although I love Nexus magazine, I will keep promoting that one. The information is out there for us to be able to globally and put the solutions to these different problems in our local communities. What, again, I think we're talking about here, as you brought up the theme of the show to talk about ufology, it isn't ufology. That is a lot of reports and studies, but they came out, even the disclosures from different countries that have come out, we're all in that earthbound fear perspective. Did you notice that?
Well, so, that was the thing. I wasn't trying to deceive you. I think I was maybe subconsciously deceiving myself because I didn't actually want to talk about ufology for more the thing. I sort of wanted to be able to put that kind of to rest about all the things in it that I felt were kind of irrelevant and sort of stupid to even bother really thinking or talking about and get into the real meat and potatoes of the stuff that actually matters, the things that you can see, touch, things that are valid, things that are truthful, things that are verified, you know, that kind of thing. Because we're often stuck in a maelstrom. It's like an asteroids game and there's all of this information flying around and you're trying to look at it, you're trying to shoot it and that kind of thing, and you're flying all around the place, and it's just so crazy making because there's too much knowledge in human society for any single human mind to hold. And I think what people do is, most people do, is they reach a point where they realize that they can't know everything, but instead of trying regardless to expand themselves to levels that they didn't even know they could do, they stop learning and they get into a routine. And until something smacks them upside of the head and they have a trauma experience, usually that non-learning experience for some people can last until the day that they die. And they'll usually die because something that they didn't know how to cure was killing them.
Oh, yeah. So true. Well, I think that's why I think the Chinese and Russians put out this treaty, the one that prevents the placement, the basing of weapons above our heads. They really, I've been to Russia a number of times. I've been to China and advised one of their biggest institutes about satellite communication and how that could benefit their country because they have such a vast amount of land, different kinds of terrain and weather and all of that. And the Russians have always stood for peace and space. They love outer space stuff. And so the leaders of China and Russia got together and put this treaty together. It is extraordinary. And I think it's the simplest thing out there that actually I could focus. I don't even like to fly on airplanes. So my falling into this whole world of outer space stuff is amazing to me. And it is so fascinating. But what this treaty does, it kind of reaffirms the urgency of preventing the weaponization of space. But why? Because it's the moment in history when we can pivot the course of history, the whole course, and be able to recognize that we can have world peace on this planet and everything that goes with it, the freeing of brains and minds, the consciousness raising that can take place in the educational system included. And we can take care of all the sacred life on this planet.
Mm.
And yeah, it's about banning space-based weapons. That's the one only thing this treaty actually will do that we're hoping China and Russia will now. And in fact, if anybody wants to do anything right now, get on the internet and find the address. You can get email addresses and ways, write letter to President Putin or to the President Xi in China and say, please start introducing, champion your treaty for peace in space, if you can't remember the title of it. And let's get them to champion it and call on the other world leaders. I'm doing that. The small group of us are doing that right now. And that is, to me, the way to pivot the course of history from the earthbound consciousness that we've been talking about to waking people up to being able to have the ability to get up again, to have a good time, to have keep that sense of humor, you know, to create the different projects that we have and share them in a state of a higher wisdom, a higher insightful consciousness. I think that this treaty, if people will read it and you call on these world leaders, it just dawns on me that people listening to this show did it. My plan is to get the world leaders to sign this treaty and ratify it in 2016. That means somebody has to call on it, which I believe should be Russia and or China leaders. We need to get Morales, the only indigenous president, to sign it. We can't get, unfortunately, the nations, the sovereign countries or the natives to sign this, something like this. The ETs can't sign it, but the UN member nations can. And I know, by the way, some people are against the UN or have their problems, but listen, that is the best place to find the world leaders. They have conferences all the time. And I think what we have to do now, in the state of humor that you're talking about, because isn't it a bit crazy to be talking about us banning space-based weapons, finding a way to get that done so that we can't put weapons up there in perpetuity ever?
Well, it's on the points we agree we should come together and collaborate, the points we disagree upon, you know, we can leave those discussions for another time. You know, perhaps the time when we've prevented the setup of a global control system that could never be challenged until the end of time, you know? It's about priorities for me, because some people yes. are afraid of freedom. You and I, we wouldn't look at another person who's free and independent and enjoying their life and think, I want to mess with that a little bit, because that really frustrates me. But there are people who do not like other people being free, and yeah. I think it's because they're afraid, right? They live in a total predator state. In a total predator state, you have two modes and only two modes, attack and defend, okay? So when people are free and free thinking and your entire empire is predicated on people being slaves to you without thinking about it, you correctly, I think, identify people who can think and people who are independent and people who love freedom as a threat. Okay.
And, you know, respecting how people's belief systems go, what they do believe or how they perceive or interpret, I still think there's only one. No, I know there's only one chance in history to make sure that we at least don't put the weapons above our heads, because if that happens, there is no way to stop it. The extent of it goes out into the unlimited universes, and it is actually going to affect every single issue on this planet. The brain and money drain is just going to be too beyond even most people's imagination, who will be able to still think if they can stay conscious. So to me, at least we can get this done. If we get the ban on space-based weapons, there can be the world's biggest world peace celebration in recorded history. And that's when we start to see all the solutions people emerge, and we can apply space age technology and consciousness to solving all the problems on the planet. If we put weapons above our heads, if we allow that to happen, we will not, no matter what people's belief systems are, be able to pivot the course into world peace. And, you know, there are Armageddonites that want war to keep happening. So we do have some obstacles in our way. We have a lot of self-interest and vested interests in our way. But they're only in our way if we don't take the stands on a lot of these issues, which many people are on many issues. This is just one. And it's about the consciousness of the extraterrestrial intelligence, mm-hmm. our neighbors, our friends, having fun and loving each other.
Carol Rosin, ladies and gentlemen, peaceinspace.com. Thank you for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.